Hey, you okay?
Oh, some damn enchiladas. Oh.
You gonna be all right?
Welcome everyone to It's Them Damn Enchiladas, the podcast. That's right, no more It's That Damn Griff, although I'm still That Damn Griff, Adam Griffin. I am joined today by one Carlos Rivera. Carlos, how you doing?
Hello. Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. Now that I got people to talk to again. Rob, good to see you, buddy. How you doing?
Hi, everybody. I'm doing all right. Hope y'all are doing well, too.
That's right.
Did you just wave on a podcast?
I'm sorry. I'm on camera. I have to wave.
Okay. Just making sure.
A little friendliness goes a long way. Thank you for the wave, Rob. We accept all wave privileges here. Here, back together again. Finally, we did it. Y'all, we did it. Congrats to us. We made it. How you guys doing?
Well,
a lot better now. Well, we're doing good and we're doing great. Actually, we're doing great. How about that?
Great,
doing fantastic.
You took good,
you have to
take fantastic. All the good vibes. Thank you for joining us, listeners. Big thanks to Mark Warren, who's lurking out there, keeping us on track. But we're here today. Talk about something very near and dear to our hearts, especially one, Carlos Rivera. That's right. We're going to talk about some Halloween. Most importantly, we're going to talk about this latest trilogy. Definitely not last, because, come on, latest trilogy by one David Gordon Green and Blumhouse. That's right, Halloween, Halloween Kills, and Halloween Ends. So, we got this whole smorgasbord of movies. Carlos, since you are our resident Michael Myers enthusiast, Where would you like to start?
I think I would like to start with Halloween. No, it's funny because we did speak about Halloween 2018 when it first came out.
Yeah.
So that, you know, a couple of years now, yes, we understand that. It was like, oh my God, how long ago that was already?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, I don't know if we want to pick up that with a quick synopsis because I really want to get into Halloween Kills.
Okay.
That one, that's the one that, that's one that came out. We didn't really get a chance to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of things to say about that film.
Thoughts?
Besides Halloween Ends. I mean,
right.
I have different things to talk about for that one.
Me too. Hey, Rob.
What's up?
You know what time it is?
What time is it, Griff?
Time for you to summarize Halloween 2018. And you remember the first rule?
I hope the first rule is no notes, because I did for damn sure didn't take any notes.
No notes, and do not Wikipedia that shit.
No Wikipedia.
I'm going to give you the real TLDR synopsis of Halloween 2018.
That's what I want.
Imagine, if you will, the original Halloween brought forward many years with a number of the same characters, at least a lot of the same characters you could have in it, in a reboot that actually manages to respect the original material without being stuck in it. Michael Myers kills a lot of people. They try to beat his ass. That shit doesn't work.
And ladies and gentlemen, that is why we have Rob Christie as our third chair.
That was a good synopsis. I'm proud of you.
Damn good reboot, though.
What was your favorite part of the reboot? That, this is for anyone. Doesn't matter.
My favorite ties into the aftermath of Halloween Ends, but specifically Laurie pulling some Myers-esque shenanigans of her own, and the final shot of the movie involving a knife.
I really like the little sub-storyline of the doctor seemingly snapping and or either that or just trying to do some really, really strange psychological treatments for a serial killer patient. And just going all murdery, kind of suddenly.
Yeah. Sounds about right. But, you know, movie doctors tend to have that switch where they get too engrossed in their work and they're like, oh, you know, this is very intriguing. I must go further. And then further involves going after somebody's throat. And that doesn't work out well most of the time.
Yeah, that's why I'm very picky with my doctors. do a lot of screening and background checks on these. You never know when you're going to get stabbed in the throat with a pen.
No, never know. Never know.
That shit was crazy. I'm like, ah, like, oh, this wait. Is how it's going to happen. Ah, like, oh, all right.
Dr. Loomis wouldn't approve of this.
So we see Michael, you know, burning in a house. As our last, you know, vision of the movie. And it moves directly into Halloween Ends.
Mm-hmm.
Where Michael is dead, the day's been saved, and nothing bad ever happens ever again.
Well,
right?
Well, Halloween definitely does end in this film.
True.
So here's one. Here's something I'm thinking about. And it's the idea of the conclusion and what they taught us in grade school, the denouement. Or denouement, if you can't say denouement. And that's the story arc of this series of films kind of ends in Halloween Kills. You're not catching Michael. He's still out there. Everything's screwed up. But your resolution and your aftermath or your epilogue or whatever, that's the entirety of Halloween Ends. Like all of your big rising action, the idea of this riled up, frothing mob, mimetic in all their evil dies tonight glory, chomping through the streets, going after Michael Myers, and they do not end well. You know, it does not go well for them at all. I don't care, you know, if you're wielding an iron or a baseball bat, you're getting your stuff pushed in by the end of this movie. Carlos, what do you think? Halloween Kills.
I want to ask you a quick question before we get into this. Did you just say they were tramping down the street?
Tramping. Stomping.
Huh. I thought you said trumping. I was like,
well, that works too.
I thought that it worked really well, actually. That's why I was glad you said it. They were trumping down the street. There's no other way to explain it.
Yeah.
The mob mentality. Think about it. It's now 40 years since the original Halloween. And these people have been thinking about it and celebrating, you know, trying to get out of the clutches of the history of what had perspire. Oh my God, yeah, they're all sweaty. So all the things that happened, and the mob mentality is just it got me going because it stuck. How they ended up going after that one guy in the hospital.
Yeah.
Poor guy. He didn't have it. Like, they didn't need to do that to him.
He didn't deserve that.
No.
No. But that ending was the most Michael Myers-esque ending. And appropriate. We saw this movie together. Me and Griff saw this together at one of our Oktoberfests. So we both went crazy when Michael just started slapping the shit out of everybody again. It was like they're getting to be like, nah, Halloween. This is how Halloween's gonna end. I was like, no. He came back up and bitch slapped the entirety of that town. In so little time that it was amazing. It was the Michael Myers that we needed to see the last 40 years.
Yeah.
We hadn't gotten him that much of a badass. It's almost like with Darth Vader, until you see him in Rogue One, where he goes, you know, he goes all crazy and everyone's like, oh shit, yes. Like, this was the moment. Michael was playing possum or something, because he snapped. That's all I can say. He just got back in his head like, oh yeah, I'm much better than this. And he just started beating the shit out of people.
Yep.
So you motherfuckers thought you had something. And let me tell you, no, you don't.
After that, and it's even better because we take away the part that he is not related to anyone. So there's no more Laurie Strode connection. He's just like an angry, evil entity.
Yeah.
That was unlocked and left to his own vices. He was pushed by the doctor. You know. And it's just crazy how 40 years and the guy is still on top of his game, because you got to give that to him. You know, everyone else did their movies years apart. This guy's, it's 40 years. We're going to forget all those horrible sequels in the middle. We're going to forget about Busta Rhymes, you know?
Still looking for a Dangertainment shirt, by the way.
He would be.
Still hasn't said a damn word.
Yeah, right?
In all those years. Has even made a sound.
They never let Michael Myers speak in a Halloween movie. No.
Like, I don't think we've heard him so much as like groan or grunt.
Well, they did. I was making a reference to a particularly hated movie by one Carlos Rivera.
I was going to say, I'll bet that's one of the movies I haven't seen yet where that happens. So we get to just keep pretending it never happened, right?
Didn't happen.
It never happened. I don't know what he's talking about.
Never happened.
Those two movies did not happen.
Didn't happen. No, they're somewhere else.
I will take Halloween 6 over the shenanigans that went on with Rob Zombie's Halloweens. Shenanigans. I can't get into it because you haven't seen it, Rob.
But I feel like that might be a future episode. Maybe. I don't know.
Rob,
I'm not gonna rewatch him.
Yeah. Here's a hint for you when you watch, since you're committed, I can tell. But what you do is watch them under the idea of, what if it wasn't Michael Myers?
Does that make them easier to watch, or just will it make me less upset?
It might make you less upset.
Okay, fair enough.
Nope. Oh, good.
No, just me snickering in the background.
Oh. Well, snicker is right, because we're near the end of this trilogy with Halloween Ends. And man, let me tell you, When the credits came up, I was snickering because my first thought was, holy shit, people are going to hate this movie. And I'll say this. This was the best Roy Burns tribute film I'd seen, I'd ever expect to see in quite some time. I liked it a lot. I really love what they did. I understand that people hate this movie, but keeping in the idea that they wanted to tell a complete story from beginning to end in these three films, based off the events of the first film, and they wanted to tell that story their way, I think they succeeded. So that's my opening gambit. Carlos, we never talked about this one. And I know I know you had something to say. So my friend, please let the people know.
So we find Michael in a sewer. He's in a sewer. He's just chilling in the sewer. And no one in their right mind had any inclination, any idea that, you know, Michael Myers was hiding out in the sewer, except for our young, protagonist, but he's not the protagonist because he's the antagonist in this movie. I really dug when he goes to the sewers, and he can like feel the mask. Like, the mask has something. And I'm like, oh, are we going to go down this road? Are we going to go down the road of whoever wears this mask is really who's the evil one? Because then that would have made absolutely no sense. Right. Considering he stole that mask from a hardware store. It was a hardware store. He stole it from around. We can assume that, the mask.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Because they don't say he broke into any other store besides that hardware store.
Right.
When Laurie's smoking the dube in the car. So to me, it was a good callback. I enjoyed the fact that someone was killing, not in Michael's name, but in like his spirit, his essence.
Right.
Like, he went down to that sewer and he was already unstable. That's the one thing. So we got one person who was right there on the brink. All he needed was a little tap, little push over the edge. And my man Michael Myers is more than ready and happy and willing to give him that extra edge.
Yeah. Rob?
There's one thing about him seemingly hiding in the sewer that was kind of weird to me. It's just that at the end of Halloween Kills, it seems like he's like peak Michael Myers. And it's like, what drained him of his power, or was he just waiting? Like, was he in some kind of weakened state, so he had to hide out and wait for, you know, a partner in crime? Or was he just like, I'm good for a while, you know, with the last kill in Halloween Kills. So I'm content to just, you know, kind of chill out. Like, the spirit of Michael Myers was somehow satisfied for some period of time, for whatever reason.
Yeah. Like,
I was just going to say, other than that, I liked that movie. I thought Halloween Ends was fine. I had no issues with it. I did find myself kind of rooting for Michael and Michael Jr. to just kind of lay that town to waste. These people suck. A lot of these people are just awful. So I was just like, yeah, fuck it. Go ahead. Mow them all down. Whatever. Not all of them. A few of them are actually decent people. But man, the ones who sucked out loud.
They sucked out loud. Wow.
That's... out loud.
Wow. Good old Lonnie. Holding down the fort.
Yep. Yeah, I like the... Okay.
No, I'm saying they just end up killing like everyone in the actual family. Everyone's gonna die except for. Well, we thought. We sat here when it came out that it was, hey, look, Laurie's gonna. We really didn't want it to be that Laurie had to die for this series to end.
Right.
That was the big thing. Like, are they gonna go the cop out way of, you know, of killing her and letting Michael still be around? Or they could have done a whole scene where they just kill each other, I guess. But I don't think that would have worked as well.
Yeah. Yeah, then they fainted a lot with I think it's a testament to Jamie Lee Curtis's work in the franchise, especially in this movie, because she gives a performance for Laurie that we did not see coming and probably never even expected. As far as the persona, it almost felt like she was playing Laurie in the beginning as having the life she would have had Michael Myers not been there. And so she's got to, you know, overplay a little bit with the pumpkin carving and all that stuff. But there was like a mirth and a spirit to her that had obviously been missing due to Michael Myers. And the faint where she calls in for the suicide, it's her shedding that life once and for all. Just wonderful work from her in this one, because just a lot of fun stuff, a lot of good stuff.
No, it was. She was outstanding again. She was never a problem with the bad Halloween movies.
Right.
It was just, you know, just weird background stuff. But she was just, she knew it. And she knew that dude was evil. She could tell, like, she knew almost like his essence had been taken over by Michael Myers. Because she was the only person that's been going crazy about it for all this time. And then to have someone, like, when the movie first starts, you see the little kid, you know, with the whole issue with the little kid. Then you're like, where are they going with this? Well, they went where we didn't. I didn't think they would ever go. I didn't think they would ever. I didn't think anyone would ever have gone the route that they did on this last film.
Where they went was about three flights down.
I thought it was going to be a fucking courtroom drama. You know, like they keep dragging this poor kid to court for 92 minutes. And then, you know, you have your big breakout mask kill scene at the end, and yeah, whatever. But no, we got a character study about, you know, what happens when stuff like when trauma, and not in the mimetic trauma way that they kept harping about when the movie was being marketed, but when, you know, all this stuff that's left unsaid and people don't deal with community issues, you know, what happens when it goes ignored and when people get affected. And I mean, is a great naming convention for the character of Corey Cunningham, because you got Corey Feldman and Sean Cunningham mashed together. You got your double supposed hero alliteration with the two C's in the name. And as soon as he gets locked into that attic, like the way he's trying to break out of there, something was up with him before all this started.
So do we want to, so Kip, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a belief that can there be a belief that there could be one, more than one person being Michael Myers? So when I ask that, is Michael Myers the what am I going to say? Is he the culmination of what all the bad things in this universe are? And does he, like, does that kid take it from him?
It's only the idea of the shape, right? exist underneath whoever the person is. So Michael Myers, government name, you know. His actions, especially with the mask, are the shape. It's like, and it's great that they never explained this because everybody would have their own interpretation. But like, what if the idea of the boogeyman had a primal form that could be unlocked? And what if, you know, if you've encountered it, or if you've seen it, or if you have adopted those movements and those mannerisms, if you saw it in the reflection of your eye, how far would you go to find it in someone else's eyes? Would you push them? Would you attack them to see if they respond and get that same look, those same movements? How long would it take? If you didn't see it, where would you go? Would you hide in a sewer for a couple of years? Would you be undisturbed pretty much at a local medical facility with psychiatric assistance for 40 years until some podcasters dredge all that up? I think it's something that kind of exists and it changes, but that shape, which we can now define as the shape, is always lurking somewhere.
So is the shape, this is what my real question ends up being, is the shape a product of Haddonfield? Is Haddonfield the issue?
I think yes and no. It's just that Michael Myers is just the form it took.
Just a continued vessel.
Yeah.
Until this movie.
What's that?
I said until this movie.
Right, yeah. Yeah. So now, like, there's a lot of stuff going on. Like at the end, that quick montage between Laurie and Michael before Allison runs in, it's almost like, okay, every action between them is shared and goes back and forth. And it's almost recognized. And had that gone on a little bit longer, Lori might have lost herself to it for good before Allison runs in. And I think the idea of the shape itself kind of leads into the one thing that I think they can play with in the future, because obviously there are going to be more movies regardless. I think this trilogy has proven that you can tell whatever kind of story you want with this franchise or with any legacy franchise, you just have to commit to the story and you have to care about what you're doing. You know, the era of franchise cash-ins and easy money is done, especially now with everything going on with streaming. But the idea of the shape continuing in another form, I think with Corey, it kind of proves that it can happen. It's very telling that they just left that mask chilling on Laura's table at the end of the movie. Very telling that Allison drives out of Haddonfield away from this thing with a whole bunch of unresolved stuff. So they can continue it if they want. I don't see why they don't. Because I think, especially with the Corey stuff, that junkyard sequence kind of proves that you can have anybody underneath that mask, especially with the movements. You know, the construction of the kills in there, because that's a That's a brutal kill scene, and if you didn't know what was happening, in that sequence, that's a Michael Myers, that's a Michael Myers kill scene. Easily. So it can be done. You can have more Halloween movies without Michael Myers. You've just got to commit to the premise, and you've got to care.
That is, you have to care. That's the main, that's the little point that it clicks on right there. You have to care about it because I care so much for this Halloween franchise. Rob, you don't know. It's bad. You weren't here for the diatribe I gave on Michael Myers circa about 2 years ago. Oh my God, 2 years ago. He's the real deal, legit. I just didn't appreciate how they did him. I just didn't appreciate how they killed him.
I mean, they had to end it. And
oh no, yeah. Hey, listen, I get it. If it Halloween it means Halloween ends and this is it, we're done with Michael Myers. They just poor guy, like, did him outrageous.
So, if they make more movies, do they just go completely away, just naming convention wise, do they go completely away from calling them Halloween? Do they just go to like The Shape Persists Part One or something like that?
I think it would be their best way to go back to the original idea for the series in that it's now an anthology. The only constant with it is the shape. Now if they want, you know, if they want to make money, then one of these movies could have the mask in it somehow. And yeah, we got to note that Blumhouse isn't making any more Halloween movies. So,
that's where we jump in.
Yeah. So Michael Myers will be back. They've done it once, just restart. So the fun is, you just don't explain it. You just don't explain it. You never explain it. You can throw theories at it. You can say that it's a cult. You can say you heard about some mess over in this other town. You can say you heard he got thrown into a industrial scrap shredder. Say whatever you want, but never explain it. Never, ever explain it.
So out of the three movies, which one is your favorite, Adam?
Ooh. You know what? I think Ends. I think the character work in Halloween Ends puts it over Halloween Kills. Me. They all have some great stuff in it, but there's something about the shock value of that beginning and the fact that the movie does something completely unexpected. Like, it's a completely different movie than what was marketed. So yeah, I think Ends was my favorite.
Yeah, it's actually one of those few movies where the stuff that comes on the trailers doesn't really have to do with the story. One of the ones I saw, which is good.
No major spoilers in the trailer? Hang on. Who does that?
I've heard that's a ploy done by some people around the world. But
sneaky.
Rob, your favorite?
2018. Because they did something that, like I said, people try to do it all the time with all kinds of properties and constantly fail. And that's do a reboot that respects the old, but goes into the new.
Respect that. Mine is Halloween Kills, because I've been waiting so long to see Michael Myers in his element. Like, And just the way they shot it too, you know, like, oh, like, ah. This is like, for those listening to the podcast, I was mimicking what he would be doing in the movie. You can't really see it, but my co-hosts are cracking up at the thought of this. Yeah, man, he was kicking some ass in Halloween Kills. He took that baseball bat like nothing. Like, excuse me? Who are you people? And he doesn't, and that's the thing, he doesn't even care who these people are, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They've been so obsessed with him for the last 40 years. You know, for the last 40 years, they've been so obsessed with him that now that, you know, it's like they willed him to be free. These people are crazy. They were celebrating the day.
Yep.
And then he just slaps the crap out of all of them.
All the awful shit that happens on Halloween in Haddonfield, and they keep having Halloween. It's like, what are you doing? Stop doing this.
It drove the entire town nuts. Like that montage, that montage at the beginning of Halloween Ends, where you see people, and Michael didn't do this. Even Laurie's like, yeah, Michael doesn't use guns. So these people, after what took place in Halloween Kills, these people lose it and they just go on sprees. So that one night, people just went nuts. And Laura's out there looking, and it's like, no, this isn't him. It's them. And that, you can, I mean, that is a whole other series there. Like, okay, you don't just have to worry about Michael. You have to worry about this other infection lurking in the town, too. And that's fascinating. Of course, we see kind of a version of it play out with Corey, but it's so much fun. So much fun.
That could also very feed into like the anthology style. You just have all these small but incredibly fucked up stories just kind of waiting to be told.
Have you seen Halloween 3 yet, Rob?
No, I haven't watched 3 yet.
All right.
Yeah, we know what you got to do.
you got to watch 3 because without giving any, it's not a spoiler. Michael Myers isn't in it.
Right.
That's not a spoiler. That's just anyone who watches the movie should know that going ahead of time. Because if not, people who think it's actual Michael Myers movie are sadly mistaken. Because they did what they were going to do. They were going to make an anthology series.
Yep.
And then they got yelled at.
Yep.
They got scolded.
Where's Michael? That was the question.
He's where at the video store.
Michael? Michael Myers was handing out on Blockbusters. Checking his own videos out.
That's right.
Can you imagine that?
It'll happen. That'll be a premise for a movie one day.
All right, do we have a question from our producer?
We do.
All right, let's see. Let's. Was that good? Like that?
Breaking news, breaking questions.
Yeah.
Here we go. If you could do a legacy sequel for an existing horror franchise, what would you pick, and how would you approach each film in the trilogy? Everybody knows what I'm going to tell you, so I'm not going to say it right now. Rob, let's get you going.
Oh, God. I almost want to go back to something, and I hope y'all aren't too offended when I describe it as just being real weird, like Phantasm. Those are some of the weirdest, not the weirdest, like in the grand scheme of things, just some of the weirdest stuff that I've watched. Because it's just like, now hold up. How would I approach them though? I'd almost want to remake them not quite shot for shot, but just remake them with modern special effects technology and just see how fucked up can I make each movie in the trilogy just by using modern special effects. How much can I maybe scare the hell out of people by just making these incredibly realistic looking, you know, marbles with giant knives that commit murder.
That's probably the best way you can describe it. To anyone who hasn't seen the movie.
It's such a strange bunch of movies. I wouldn't know how to, I would, if someone asked me, hey, what do you think of these movies? I'd say, I enjoyed them. Can you describe them to me? No. No, you need to just watch them. It's the best way for you to understand what the hell is going on in those movies. And you still won't understand it then, but you'll at least have a better idea. I'm not saying it's aliens, but aliens.
Aliens.
I did the gesture for those of you listening.
Guy's great. Existing horror franchise, a new legacy sequel. You know what I would like to see? I would like to see Child's Play. Even right now, they're doing their thing with the TV show.
TV show is fantastic. I just want to cut in. Sorry.
Okay, that was not a professional segue.
I'm sorry. I'm rusty. It's been a while.
I get it, man. I get it. Just to see that I think Child's Play could be actually a really good trilogy if they stop at the three. And not try to make more after that. So you could have your love story with what's her name again? Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was so good, but again, you would need to update a lot of it to, because ain't no kids. If you saw the newest Child's Play, that's the close. You know, that's the closest thing I would say to what I would want it to be. Because those kills in the freaking supermarket, it's fantastic. And we had, what's her name? Aubrey Plaza was in the Halloween remake. I mean, the Child's Play remake. But I would do that. I would get the story behind Chucky finding his girlfriend, and then Chucky having a kid, and those would be your three. That'd be the trilogy. Well, that's how I set it, and it'd be easy to follow, easy to enjoy. Because who doesn't like a doll who kills?
Fair. I don't know. It's creepy and it's fun to watch. Okay,
it is.
Yeah. Well, normally I would say Nightmare on Elm Street, and I would tell you exactly what was happening. But I'm inspired today. We're back. We're talking horror movies. This is one of my most favorite things to do. Talk horror movies with my friend. But let me tell you about some ideas I had. A little series known as The Evil Dead.
That was shocking.
The first movie would be an inverse of the idea of the book, and most importantly the concept of the hero from the sky. A member of a friend group already knows about the book because there are three books and his family encountered it a couple hundred years ago. So this knowledge has been passed down to him or them, depending. So they get invited to a cabin in the woods. And when this protagonist gets there, The evil's already there. Now you have to rectify family history with some really screwed up stuff that's happening right in front of your face. Second movie, Survivor has to deal with the fallout from the entire town who has been using the book for personal gain. And in the third, in an inverse of Army of Darkness, the original ancestor gets thrown through time into modern day to deal with the fallout of the first two movies.
I like that.
I'd watch that.
And if you didn't, we'd make you watch it, so.
There we go.
One way or the other, I'd watch that.
So, as I said at the start of the show, we're back. We're doing this again. It's fun. It's fantastic. But we've been away for a really long time. So, fellas, what caught your eye over our unintended hiatus?
Well, I'm a little saddened that the Friday the 13th game is officially going to end. That's a sad moment. So we have until not that long. it's gonna fly. So yeah. We're gonna, you know, saying a date doesn't really mean anything because it's gonna fly, and it's gonna be done forever. Servers are gonna be gone. It was a fun game. That I was a little upset to find out about that. Horror movie wise, did I read someone is gonna be a new Saw movie?
Yes, they're gonna do a sneak peek next month. Saw X.
Yeah, so
Tobin Bell is back.
Of course, why wouldn't?
I still have to watch a lot of those movies.
I tell you now, if you're gonna watch, just get them out of the way, because some of them just aren't. And I'm a fan of the Saw series. Just some of them are just silly.
I mean, how many? They're making the 10th one. You can't. I don't think any series has ever made 10 good. Ever had 10 good movies.
I can't name one.
Nope.
So. Especially not Fast and Furious. That's probably the only one I can think of.
I was actually wondering how many 10 movie series are there?
Are there 10?
Cannot be a very long list.
Are there 10 good Bond movies?
Total?
Not, like objectively good.
Bond. In what?
James probably?
Bond. Oh, Bond?
Yeah.
Are there 10 movies?
Like, well, there's 25, but like, are they objectively 10 good movies?
Well, we also have this argument of who's the best Bond, so that.
Yeah.
I'm glad we never have to have that on the podcast.
I never win that argument. So I believe Timothy Dalton was the best.
I don't think we've seen the best yet.
Idris Elba?
Well, he's Luther. He don't have to be Bond.
That's true. I still haven't seen that. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't want to get into how dumb it is that people are mad that James Bond might not be a white dude.
People are just dumb.
Like it's an office, you idiots.
People are just not. People are smart. Willfully ignorant and stupid. It's bad. Horror movies. We're a horror movie podcast. We can talk about Bond.
Yeah, my bad.
We can talk about Bond for April. 2020.
Well, no. So what had happened? Because we were talking about 10 movie.
Yeah, that's true. We didn't get horribly sidetracked, just mildly sidetracked.
Just mildly sidetracked.
Mildly sidetracked. I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of mild sidetrack, I haven't been paying that much attention to horror movies. But I have to mention Nicolas Cage in Dead by Daylight because it is so funny.
Isn't Dead by Daylight?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Just playing Nicolas Cage, by the way. Not playing a character from a movie. Not playing the character from, I don't know, Mandy. We have to talk about that movie one of these days, by the way, because holy crap.
All right, sure. Yeah, we can do a double shot of Beyond the Black Rainbow and Mandy.
Yeah,
same director.
What? Oh, okay.
Same director?
Yeah.
I've got to watch one of those, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Or why not do Mandy and Pig?
Pig's not really horror.
So, we talked about James Bond. We can't talk about...
But James Bond's not an episode. We were mildly sidetracked. What we can do, oh God, we can do.
Oh, really? Really? Really?
Yeah.
Did I just see that crawl across
we just got notes slid into the studio.
I felt like we just Rickrolled. Man, no, we're not going to talk about. We are not going to talk about the Wicker Man.
All right, that's
why not.
No.
Because right. It's not even
why not.
Well, Rob, it's not even the original. That's the first part. There's an original Wicker Man.
The original. Oh God, that's an older movie, isn't it? Like
now we're being harassed. All right, so here
Nicolas Cage theme though. Look.
If we want to do a Nicolas Cage theme show, these are my requests. Okay. Mandy. Willy's Wonderland. And Jiu-Jitsu.
You have to pick the most random one, don't you?
I ain't even heard of two of those movies. I'm not going to lie.
One of them is a Nicolas Cage starring take on Five Nights at Freddy's. And the other is a Nicolas Cage tinge take on Predator.
Oh God.
I'm down to do this if y'all are. Oh shit.
No, we'll do it. I don't know how sane I'll be after watching that much Nicolas Cage.
I think that will actually make for a better episode if we're all just a little bit tilted by what we've seen. Just watch Mandy last. What a delightfully unhinged movie.
We got that.
Sorry, I'll stop.
Scream 5 and 6, we never talked about. We can talk about those.
Oh, yeah, we will definitely talk about Scream.
Evil Dead Rise, now on streaming. We can talk about that. We got a lot. And what we choose, we will let y'all know, and we will get to it. So we got those on the docket. Other than that, I think that'll do it. Any final words from you guys? We're closing this thing out.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, what he said. Ditto.
Yeah.
Ditto.
Yeah, I'm good. Ditto. Good to be back.
Good to be back with our producer to the stars.
That's right. Producer to the stars, Mark Warren.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
And with that, this has been the return episode. It's them damn enchiladas, the podcast. Handles are in the show notes. I am skipping reading from a document because you know what? Life is short and we're having fun. So it's from the heart. Thank you all for listening. And we will catch you next time.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.